You're listening in to a recorded phone call that I made as I continue to conduct my fakeology research. It's unedited, unscripted, and may have a few nuggets of information you may find interesting. I always ask permission to record calls I make. Listen in to our weekly broadcast most Saturday nights at 9:11 p.m. at fakeologist.com. Now, on with the call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, you called me. This is a fakeologist calling.
I'm sorry, who is this? Oh, yes. Did you try and call me before?
A couple of times, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, you were calling from a weird number. After I called you, I realized that the interview you did with Mark Sargent was a while ago. I thought it was recent.
That's
the old interview, right?
Yeah, that was ancient history.
I was agitated listening to it because, you know, you're talking about controlled opposition, and I just feel like, you know, Mark Sargent is the leader of controlled opposition, at least in the Flat Earth movement. But,
he could very well be. By the way, I'm recording this call. I don't have to mention it, but I just thought out of the courtesy I am. Sometimes I might... I like to use some of these calls for the air.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an experiment because I just installed this thing on my smartphone, and this way, did you call in on the toll-free number?
Yeah, I went to the website, and there was a 877 number at the bottom or something.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's fine. Through through my smartphone, so this may or may not record properly. I have no idea if it'll sound any good. So you're sort of a test case because I don't get too many calls.
Okay. I'll start listening to your show. All right.
Where are you calling from, NYC?
Well, Connecticut.
Oh, it just showed up as New York City when I looked it up. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a New York City number. All right, but yeah, I was just going to say that, but it's ancient news now.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, you got to go now?
Yeah, I'm driving, actually.
Yeah, me too. No, I just want, what did you think of the interview?
It's agitating because, you know, I see through his commode story. I've heard it all. You know, I've heard him literally repeat the same story 100 times. You know, and I hear in his voice, he's just not who he says he is. You know, and he's definitely not trying to do what he says he's trying to do. You know, in best case scenario, he's in it for the money strictly. That's the best case scenario. But, I feel like, you know, the world's not a sphere and it's not flat. There's something else and, you know, they're not telling us what it is, but they're steering everybody down this flat road that's, you know, going to end nowhere, you know?
Yeah. How did you find the interview? Where did you find it?
Mark has it on his channel on YouTube. He posted it today.
You know, I was one of the first guys that randomly called him because I watched the Flat Earth Clues and I just called him and I get accused of being on the bad side because I was one of the first, if not the first, to call him out of the blue and record it. It was similar to this call. You know, I just record all my calls. And once I got going, I just said, well, I'm going to use this on my show. So, what do you think of that, Jay? Does that make me suspicious?
No. I mean, I never even heard of your channel, so never heard of it. Today was the first time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, I don't really talk about the Flat Earth too much, but because it came up 3 years ago, I believe, in 2015, I started looking into it, but honestly, I'd never even thought of the whole idea before I saw his little 13 or 11 part series, whatever it was. So, cause normally I discuss 9/11. That's what my blog is all about. Because as Marcus would say, you heard of Marcus Allen?
No.
he calls it the greatest magic magician's trick of all time. And
yeah, 9/11.
Three of them.
What
do you
think? I was living in Manhattan when it happened, you know, so, and, you know, my parents were immigrants. They came from Lebanon, you know, right before the war broke out there. So, you know, I grew up hearing my dad complain about the Rothschilds in Israel and, you know, all that stuff. So I was, you know, I've been pretty much awake my whole life. So, you know, when 9/11 happened, I knew right away what it was. I knew right away that it was somehow Israel and, you know, and the faction of the U.S. government that did this so that they could go to war in the Middle East. You know, it was plain and simple. You know, how they accomplished it, I mean, yeah, there's many theories, but I'm pretty sure those were missiles that hit the buildings. And, and I think that it was all, like, staged. They had that whole area sectioned off. I've heard many people to say, oh, they were there. You know, nobody's really telling me the truth about that. They exaggerate. And I only know, you know, I was living in Manhattan. I only know one person that claims their brother died. And it's weird. He was my chiropractor for years. And a solid year had gone by, 9/11, and I'm sitting in his office, you know, getting my back cracked. And I see a picture on the mantle. I'm like, oh, who's that? You know, and he's like, oh, that's my brother. He died on 9/11. I'm like, oh, you never told me that. Like, holy shit. You know, so then I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, how the fuck would he mention that his brother died 9/11? I didn't even know he had a brother. It was just weird, you know, and I don't know what to say about that. So I think it was staged, and there were definitely missiles. And yeah, it was a lot of TV effects, you know?
Well, your background is Lebanese, and I think people of the Middle East are more conditioned to understanding psyops and media fakery and just being screwed around in general by the military. I think you guys, that's probably why your father was right away a little tuned into what was happening, but most Americans have no idea about all the fakery that goes on in Israel and just in general the propaganda and just the total spectrum dominance of the Israeli media controlling both sides of that false equation.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is that people don't even realize that that same brainwashing they do to Americans, they do it to the Israeli people too. You know, I lived in New York City. Everybody I knew was Jewish and they were so brainwashed. I talked to a Jewish friend. He was never political. Never even Jewish, you know, he's American, but somehow in the past few years, people got in his head, like he started going to see rabbis, and they literally got in his head that people want to kill him, and that he needs to, like, get with his team, and like, I'm like, what are you talking about? Nobody's trying to kill you, like, you know, but he's really, like, gung-ho about it now, and he never was like that, so they brainwash him, you know?
Well,
so,
9/11 activated every possible division in America. It activated everybody. So if most people are just floating through life and not really trying to conflict with anybody, this thing activated all the differences and magnified them and accelerated them, and it created all kinds of mini wars all over the place with families, with neighbors, with the different religions. It brought everything and magnified it. It was fantastic what it did. Not in a good way, but just in general.
Yeah, not in a good way. You sound like Netanyahu. Do you know the best evidence I've seen is, I don't know if you've seen this, but right before they brought down building number 7, you know, there's footage of this, of like the street, like the entire avenue leading up to building 7, and you see like maybe 10 traffic lights. And seconds before they brought the building down, all the street lights go off. You know, and that's standard demolition procedure. They power down everything within like several block radius. You know, they turn off the electricity, gas, everything. So, I mean, it's like right there in video. They shut down all the power, they demolition the building, and then the lights come back on. You know, so that's the best evidence in my book. And then, what else? And then I don't know why nobody else shows this video. It would take me a while to find it on YouTube, but there's this guy from Australia that has a scene of the second tower being hit, and literally you have to slow it down, like, you know, I don't know how slow the video, but you slow it down, and right before that missile, you can see it's a missile hitting a bunker buster, hitting building number two, another missile faster than you could ever imagine comes down into building number six. And you see it literally come down at the same time the building's being hit. It's crazy. I've never seen anybody show that video besides that one Australian guy. So, I mean, there's evidence out there. Just a lot of trickery here.
Have you ever seen the YouTube Denver Clues?
Years ago, many, many years ago. Yeah, that was one of the better ones. Yeah, Mark pretended like he didn't know what that was in the interview. That's what really got me upset. Like, he knows exactly what that is. And he tried to plug the loose change guy.
Yes. Well, I September Clues is what made me want to really get involved and promote September Clues, because I didn't think anyone else was really getting the gist of September Clues and or promoting it. So that's one reason I wanted to just start talking about it and really promote that, because if you understand what the bottom line is from September Clues, you realize that there isn't one bit of video footage, including the collapse footage, that wasn't manufactured in a Hollywood studio. So every aspect of the 9/11 movie, including the opposition, was manufactured by the military. It's a total spectrum dominance event. So therefore, any ideas you might have about the counter story or the alternative story were given to you and promoted for those that doubted the official completely ridiculous story. So even the collapse footage and even this Australian footage is most likely given to you by the same people that put the footage that everyone else believes in out there. So what do you think of the idea that you or me or no one else got to see the official collapse footage? Any footage that they may have taken, and I'm pretty sure Controlled Demolition Incorporated did the demolition, the biggest demo firm in the world. He didn't get to see the video. I guarantee, my thought is these buildings were just brought down by controlled demolition, and we didn't get to see any of it, because it's absolutely the most logical, clean explanation for the whole event, and everything else was made up. What do you think of that?
I slept through I slept through the whole thing, and I was only like maybe 10 blocks away on the east side. I was all the way on the east side, on the lower east side, Attorney Street.
Yeah.
And I had partied the night before. I was young, like 20. So I was like sleeping, like hungover. And my mom kept ringing the phone, like waking me up. I'm like, Mom, what do you want? She's like, get up. I'm like, leave me alone. She's like, you're a bum, get up. And then finally, like the third or fourth call, she says, the world is ending. And you're like, what does she mean, the world? So I get up and I look out the window and I just see hordes of people walking north. And I'm
wow.
Like, oh, fuck. I turn on the TV and I see the buildings coming down on TV, and I'm like, I just packed everything in a duffel bag and left. But yeah, wow. I somehow slept through it. I didn't hear anything, and I wasn't that far away. But I'll tell you, I still to this day remember the smell. It smelled so bad for so long. Like a solid month afterwards, it was just this stink that would not go away.
Yes. Did you have a view of the World Trade Center? Did you have a view of the World Trade at all from where you live?
If I went to the ceiling of the building, probably, but I didn't do that. I just left that day. But what was I going to say? What did you think of Vegas?
So the only way you would have seen anything is on the television as well, even though you live right there.
Yeah. Yeah, most people, that's how it was. But,
everybody. Well, Vegas.
What do you think of Vegas?
Same thing. It's the same thing over and over again. Listen, if you can fool the entire world to this day on JFK and 9/11, Vegas and Sandy Hoax and all these little guys, they are nothing compared. They can easily pull these things off as psychological operations. See, we have this phrase on my website.
I know for a fact.
What do you know?
I know for a fact it was fake. I mean, It was just obvious. The first day I'm watching on TV, I'm like, come on, this is not what it would look like if a crowd of people had a couple thousand bullets raining down on them. This is not what it would look like. And I called friends of mine that are actors in L.A., like small-time actors, and I'm pretty sure they had done crisis acting gigs. So I asked them, you know, what do you think about this? They're like, it's fake. They, you know, right away, they just said it's fake. But then I'm telling a guy, no, actually, there's a connection to 9/11 with this guy. I don't want to say his name, but he's the richest guy I know, and he's rich off scrap metal. And his business just started, like, right around the time of 9/11. And he was telling me about how he was making money off the metal. You know, all the scrap guys got to make good money off that. But I called him when the Vegas thing happened, and I'm telling him, it's so fake. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, then explain why Megan's, you know, his wife, why her best friend from college is in the hospital shop. I'm like, come on, really? Yeah. You know, I doubted myself for a little bit, but then I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, this guy is like, you know, he's a billionaire, you know, and he's connected to, like, so maybe somehow he's part of it. Like, I couldn't believe it was real because he's telling me that, but, you know, he was telling me that somebody he knows was shot. So I didn't know what to think, but I'm positive it's fake. The footage is obvious.
Well, I think they go to more of an extent than anyone might believe to make these things realistic. I do believe they pay what are called LARPers, live-action role players. They'll pay actors just to be even lifetime actors. Say, listen, you're going to get paid a salary. You're going to be the victim's father, and you can still go about your life. But if anyone asks you about Vegas or 9/11, this is your role. And that seems incredible to believe, but... Well, listen, the money that they have, that they ripped off, and the insurance for all these things, huge amounts of money are available to pay these people, and I don't think you have to pay them that much, just a salary. If I just say, listen, we'll pay you 20 grand a year, you're going to be the father of a victim, and you got to play this role, you can still have your life, but if anyone ever asks you or you're asked for an interview, you have to provide it, that kind of thing. Same with 9/11. I think they planted a lot of – there was a – I counted 11 different ways they could simulate victims. Like, for instance, do you believe on 9/11 that 3,000 people were murdered?
No, I have my doubts about that. And the thing is, I thought about it afterwards. Now, I knew so many people in New York City. I was living there. I didn't know anybody that worked in that building, in those buildings, except for, ironically, one guy – and I met him like the night before when we were partying. He was a friend of a friend. He told me that, this is crazy. Afterwards, after 9/11 happened, I see him and he's like, you know, that night we partied and we got fucked up. That actually saved my life. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, cause I was so wasted. I never made it to work, but I would have been in the restaurant at the top that he worked in.
Okay.
So he called in sick or, you know, he was sleeping like I was. And he never made it, but he's like, you know, partying that might save my life. He was the only person I know that worked in the building.
I think the restaurant was probably the only thing that was actually functional in that building, besides maybe the security station on the main floor. My official belief is that the buildings were mostly empty. They were mostly empty, and they were just brought. If they weren't empty before 1993, when they did the simulated explosion in the basement in the parking lot, then they certainly were after 93. So that's my official belief is the buildings were empty, but the windows of the world, I think that was probably one of the only things that was actually functional in the building. And that was just to give the illusion that there's millions of people in there and there's businesses and whatnot. So yeah, that's pretty cool though that you knew someone in the,
Yeah, look, one last thing I want to ask you. I pulled over, so I'm not driving, but what do you think about flat Earth?
Well, I'm just confused, honestly. I like what you said earlier. You said, well, we're given two choices. The world's either a sphere or it's flat.
Yeah.
Well, what if it's something else? What if there's something else they're obscuring? And I think that's possible. I don't know. I and the frustrating thing is we have no way of knowing. We can't go up. 15 miles or whatever it takes to see the Earth. We just can't do it. I don't have a big plane, and I don't have a spy plane, and it's the military that controls that. You know, they control the answers, so we'll never get to know, and they know that. That's what frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah, I was for 4 years now. It's been at least 4 years, 2014, almost five. I've been asking. I gave up, but I was asking all the channels, Jaredism, Bob, you know, Mark, Star, all of them. I was sending messages like, I'll pay, I'll sponsor a balloon launch. Let's do this. Let's do a real one. And they never get back to me. None of them ever once got back to me because I don't think they're really trying to prove anything. You know, Jaredism does all these tests, but he never proves anything. So they're not really trying to solve the riddle. They're just, you know, leading people down this road that's going nowhere.
I agree with you. And I like Bob and I like Jaredism. I just stopped listening to them because it was like spinning our wheels. We're getting nowhere. And like you said, all these years later, we're no closer, unless they've had a show recently that I've missed where they've discovered something. We've gone nowhere. And how the hell do these people, maybe outside of Bob, how do they make a living? How can you make a living peddling this stuff? It's not possible.
Well, at this point, I'm sure Jaredism has made a lot of money and like donations and stuff like that, I'm sure.
Do you think enough to eat? Do you think he's made enough to make a living, though? Has he made enough to make a living?
Yeah. I mean, he's got 100,000 people following him. You know, even if just 100 of those people are relatively wealthy people that will donate some money here and there, he's doing well.
Okay.
So
I guess you're right.
It's become about money.
I guess it does add up then. But about how does Mark Sargent make money? I mean, he says he lives on an island.
Mark 100% is something else. You know, I don't know if they all have been recruited or they were from the beginning, but Mark from the beginning is some kind of agent. I mean, I was there in the beginning. I remember, like, people had screenshots of people saying, oh, yeah, Mark's from, you know, he's from Colorado DOD. You know, like, they knew for a fact that he was Department of Defense. And there was, like, what's her name, Patricia Spear or whatever. She did that interview where she's interviewing a Croatian girl that says she's Mark Sargent's daughter. You know, so they slipped up here and there. And, you know, this whole Metatron thing with MGTV. It's pretty obvious that, you know, he's not who he says he is. And what, you know, convinces me everybody else is lying too is that they all stick up for Mark. I could show you many messages where I said to, like, David Weiss or Marty Leeds or any of them that, you know, Mark can't be trusted. They're like, Mark's the best guy, and he's the, you know, we stick up for him 100%. And so they're behind him. So, you know, I think they're all doing it together. And it's not coincidence that 4 years ago at the exact same time, they all just bombarded YouTube with these videos. It's not a coincidence, you know.
And they told everyone to put Flat Earth in every title of every NASA expose on YouTube. They just said, put Flat Earth in the title. Which, of course, I believe there's a lot. Simon Schack from Clues Forum says the Flat Earth is a discredit by association regarding exposing NASA for all their fakery, because we quite sure that NASA is a fake entity in the sense that everything they publish, everything they produce is just fakery. There's no ISS. There's no space shuttle explosion. There's no Apollo. So they've basically been Hollywood South since they began. And you tag them, anyone exposing them with Flat Earth, and it makes you look like a lunatic to most people.
My cousin's a civil engineer, and 4 years ago when I told him about Flat Earth, he went insane, started screaming at me. You know, he was like, you're an idiot. How could you listen to that stuff? But I'm like, show me proof. Like, where in engineering do you get? Because he builds bridges, and I mean, show me where you guys account for the curvature of Earth. And he tried, and everything he sent me, he was wrong. It had nothing to do with the curvature of Earth. But then at the same time, we have a cousin, he's deceased now, Eli Baghdadi. He's like a famous inventor, 200 radio patents. He's like, he's literally the guy that like brought the radio into the modern age. And his
really?
Technology is what, yeah, NASA supposedly used his technology to talk to Apollo on the moon. So my cousin, like, if you doubt NASA, you're insulting him. You know, I'm like, I'm like, look, I don't think the guy was some kind of evil criminal, but he probably thought that they were using his technology. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He probably believed that they really were. It's hard for me to believe he was in cahoots, but maybe he was. You know, he probably was a Freemason. You know, I know that my cousin's dad was a Freemason. You know, so maybe he was too, and somehow, you know, he just kept the secret. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he gets really upset when I bring up any of this stuff.
So do you think that America went to the moon? Do you think?
No, absolutely not. Come on, that footage is ridiculous, fake, and
do you think the moon is even something you can go to? Is there any proof that it's even
communications? No, it's obvious it's some kind of light in the sky. You know, it's some kind of, you know.
Yeah. But there's no proof it's three dimensions, is it? There's really no way to know.
There's proof that it's not.
Right.
There's proof that it's not. Like the way the shadows work on it, that it shows that it's concave. I think that's what the test showed, but
we've never had a good reason why we can't see the other side of the moon. I didn't even know until recently that we only saw one side of the moon. I thought Dark Side of the Moon was just sort of a, well, I know it's the greatest album of all time, but I thought they meant there's always a dark side of the moon. I didn't know it was always the same side. That, no one talked
about
it. I didn't know.
It doesn't make any sense. For 4 years, I tried to understand the science behind it, like how they say it spins in perfect rotation with the Earth. I couldn't understand it. And I'm a science major. I was a bio major, you know, so I've taken all those classes, but I still can't wrap my head around how they're explaining that the moon does spin, but it's spinning in perfect synchronicity with Earth. So we just never see it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't, you know,
there's
no such thing as coincidence.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think everyone in the whole world is in the same boat. No matter how much education they had, they're completely baffled by the official story and they just don't think they're smart enough to understand it. And that leaves three people in the whole world that probably say they understand it, you know? But the rest of us are just baffled because we just think we're not smart enough. But really, the reality is we're not given the right information. That's why we can't understand it. It doesn't make sense.
This is where I am with Flat Earth lately. It's like, I know the AE map is wrong. It doesn't work with, like, the sun and distances. There's a lot of things wrong with it. But yet still, Jaronism, all these guys back the AE map. But what's that British guy's name? I can't remember his name. He gets no coverage ever. The British flat earther, he's bald. I can't remember his name right now. But he believes in the diamond-shaped map. The diamond-shaped map makes more sense, like, distance-wise, except that with the diamond-shaped map, you have to believe in, like, the Pac-Man model, that somehow you fly, you know, west, and you pop back out on the other side, you know what I mean? Which, you know, didn't make any sense to me, and Bob and Jaron, all those people mocked that concept. But not if things are four-dimensional. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to use a two-dimensional map to represent Earth, which could very easily be four-dimensional, and you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you can't represent it on a map. Somehow it's a diamond shape, and somehow it is, you know, four-dimensional. Like, you do just come out the other side. That's crazy. I mean, and I'm stuck on that, and I'm stuck on that, yes, it's slightly concave, and it's like the outer south pole, which is, you know, the ring around, is higher than the center north pole. You know, so it is like a bowl. Everything is kind of emptying into the north pole. So that's where I'm stuck at right now. That's what most research is showing me. You know, I don't know where to go with it. There's nobody really talking about stuff like that, but that's where I go with.
Have you been just spending all your time with Flat Earth the last 3 years? Or do you really, Are you constantly researching that? Because I gave up on it years ago. Honestly, I don't. I kind of lost interest in it.
Well, I wouldn't say constantly, but it's, you know, I've been trying to solve it. It's a riddle I've been trying to solve. So, yeah, at night, when I'm falling asleep, I watch, you know.
Oh, so you're staying up to date to this day with all these guys, Zarinism and Bob.
Yeah, I want to know what they're trying to do.
Are they the only guys really pushing it now? I know David Weiss is sort of in your neighborhood. Does he still talk about it? Does he still do his flat earth?
Yeah, they're all talking about it still. And, you know, there's thousands of channels talking about it. You know, they took the red pill and they, you know, they believe what those guys say, but it's embarrassing now because when I see in the comment section, people like saying, you're crazy, the world is flat. You know, really, those people that are saying that are just kind of regurgitating what those guys say, you know, what Jaron says, but they're not really, really studying this. They're not really looking at the science and the numbers. They're just, you know, regurgitating what they're saying. So it's embarrassing to be a flat earther. And I don't even try to argue against the globe or anything. I don't get involved in that because it's, you know, I know it's wrong. I can't convince a glober, you know, that the globe is wrong, and I can't convince a flat earther that, you know, that's probably wrong. So, you know, I just don't get involved. But I'm watching to see where it's going. I want to see how it's all going to end, as Truman says. I want to know how this is going to end.
Have any of these guys ever contacted just mainstream scientists and tried to get at least a back and forth going with them just to understand why either side is wrong, or do they?
Well, they claim they did. I mean, they claim you know, Mark Sargent's claimed since the beginning that he's got a challenge out to all, you know, science to come challenge, you know, debate him, but they don't come. You know, a professional isn't going to want to debate, but yeah, at the same time, it's crazy because the globe side, you know, they've caused this. Because they didn't have a good defense and they didn't like come out and all their defense is like what, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye. Everything they say is obviously, it's obvious that it could be disproven. So anybody that's already taken the flat earth red pill, when they hear those guys and their arguments, it just solidifies the flat earth argument. You know, that's how I felt in the beginning that, oh, you know, scientists sound like idiots. They're not really answering this. So it makes you believe in the flat earth more. It is some crazy psyop. There is really something to it. And really what it did was it destroyed the 9/11 movement. It literally buried it. Nobody talks about 9/11 anymore. And 4 years ago, it was really starting to boil. Things are really starting to come to a head. And then it just all ended with the flat earth. So that could have been its goal the whole time.
Really? That's interesting. Because like I said, Clues Forum, which is a good website, Simon Shack and September Clues, he said that it was simply a psyop to discredit NASA fakery research because that was starting to accelerate the research into how it was starting to become more mainstream that most people thought that NASA was full of crap and everything they're putting out was just Hollywood South and this flat earth was just attached to that, and it basically distracted everyone away from calling NASA out and all the worldwide space agencies for being complete fraud.
Yeah, that's possible too. I thought that. I'm sorry. What's your name?
My name is Tim. T-I-M.
Tim. Tim, listen. I gotta go. I pulled over on the side of the road here.
All right. Cool. What's your name?
Feel free to call me back anytime. Sam.
Yeah.
My name's Sam. Sam,
all right. Well, nice to meet you. You sound like you're about my age, I guess. You're in your 40s or 50s. So.
Yeah, 45.
Yeah, well, nice to talk to you. And go to my website, fakeologist.com. Just see if you can get through it and take a look at some of the stuff and rewatch September Clues with the idea that 3,000 people most likely did not die.
Yeah, no, I believe it. I'm definitely going to check out your website, all right?
All right. Thanks, Sam. Take care.
Take care, sir.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This is Noise Level, Perth, WA, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.